Nevertheless, I am convinced by scripture and by plain reason, and not by popes and councils who have so often contradicted themselves. My conscience is captive to the word of God. To go against conscience is neither right nor safe. I cannot, and I will not, recant. Here I stand. I can do no other.
Good morning, everybody. What an incredible day. It's been a beautiful day here at St. Paul's. I've had a chance to celebrate two different Reformation services already, baptized two little babies, and now I get to celebrate with you here at the bridge as well. So what a special day it is. I don't care if it's rainy or foggy. It's just a beautiful, beautiful day. What I'd like to do is, if you could go to the next slide, please, and I'll go get the clicker while there is some commotion here. So if you have a Bible, please turn to page 1093 or open up your Bible apps to Acts chapter 4. And I, before I start the message, I need some help with some of the young people of our congregation. So anybody who is young or young at heart, I don't have to be the oldest person here. Come on up. So I need the kids to come on up and help me. So who can come up? Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. All right, Frederick. All right, all right, all right. I need some more. Oh, good, 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 good. Good, 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 good. And while I'm doing this, I see Neil is at the back. Did I leave the clicker on the counter over there? Oh, no, I have it in my pocket. Woo! All right. All right, come on up. All right, yes, you can stand right here. Now, I need somebody who is a really good counter to help me. Who is a really good counter? You are a really good counter, right, Dalton? All right, so we are going to count everybody who is up here. And I need you to count really loud, so let me hear how loud you can count.
One.
Good, you want to come up? Okay, all right.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Count yourself. Count me. 17. I came up with 18. Let's try it again. Let's be really careful now. All right. Oh, oh, and this happens every, they get faster and faster and faster. Slow down, slow down. We want to get it right. All right.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
I came up with 18. You think we should count again and see? No? No? Okay. Now, how is it that I'm coming up with 18? I came up with the same number, but there's somebody else that I counted. Yes, that is exactly right. He said Jesus. A good friend of mine who's already in heaven, his name is Jim Buchholz, was an usher here at St. Paul's, and of course he had to count people who were at church. And he always added one. Because Jesus was there, right? And that's what we want to celebrate today on Christ Alone Sunday, that we can always add one, that Jesus is always with us. So you did a great job, even though I gave you a hard time, and all of you guys did a great job just standing here and being counted. It wasn't that hard, but I appreciate your help, so you guys can go back to your seat. And hopefully by this time you found
Acts chapter 4. The background for Acts chapter 4 and why I think this is a great Christ alone ad, always add one Sunday, is this is the first time that the apostles are facing opposition for their preaching about Christ. This is probably 2 months maybe after Jesus had died. Remember, after Jesus died and rose again on Easter, then he appeared to the disciples for 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven, and he told the disciples, wait in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. And 10 days later, so 50 days after Easter, the Holy Spirit comes on the apostles, and they, you know, 3,000 people come to faith. Now, Acts chapter 3 is probably just in the next couple of weeks. Peter and John go into the temple, and they see a guy who's lame sitting there begging, and they just say, you know, we don't have any money, but what we have we're going to give you. In the name of Jesus, walk. And suddenly this guy who has been lame from birth is jumping for joy, and that causes a crowd to gather around, and Peter and John have a chance to talk about Jesus. But not only the crowds list here about this preaching about Jesus, but the Jewish leaders do too. And that's where our lesson begins. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. I have to find it myself. There we go. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they threw them in jail until the next morning. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. So this is male, so women and children in addition. So the church is growing rapidly from 3,000 on Pentecost to 5,000 men, plus how many thousands of women and children. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Brothers, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it was by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is," and then he quotes from Psalm 118, "the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Like I said, this is probably the first time that the apostles face opposition from outside when they preach the name of Jesus. Now, this is probably 2 months after Jesus' crucifixion. So my guess is as they're sitting in prison, this is the image that comes to their mind. Because the same people who crucified Jesus, who masterminded that trial and very quickly led Jesus out to crucifixion, those are the very same people that are putting Peter and John on trial. They're facing incredible pressure from outside. And suddenly what they preached in public in the temple courts becomes very personal, doesn't it? Their lives are dependent on what they are saying about Jesus. It is very personal as they face the prospect of death. What was true of the apostles that day so long ago was true of Martin Luther as well. You know, we're celebrating that 500 years ago, Martin Luther posted these statements for debate on the castle church door in Wittenberg. All he really wanted was a chance to talk with his fellow churchmen about a pastoral issue that he was struggling with. As a teacher, both of students in his classroom at the university and as a preacher in the castle church, he had a responsibility for the care of souls that were listening to him. And he was convinced that the church of his day was misleading people and leading them away from a certainty in Christ. And so he wanted a debate. And you know, things kind of snowballed out of his control, so that 4 years later, he stands before Emperor Charles V, the most powerful man in Europe. He controlled most of Europe, other than France. You look at a map of Europe, Charles V controlled all of it. And he stands before Charles V, and he's asked, "Will you take back what you've taught?" And Luther says, I can't. I can't recant. I can't take it back unless I'm convinced by Scripture. Now, for most of us, that's probably where the story about Martin Luther ends. But it's at that point that what was a pastoral issue, a public issue, becomes very personal for Martin Luther. Because now he is under the sentence of death. In fact, his prince is so frightened for Luther's safety that he hides Luther in the Wartburg Castle for 10 months, trying to keep him safe from the Roman emperor. Even after 10 months, there are enemies on the outside who are seeking his life. 10 months after he goes to Wartburg, he returns back to his home area of Wittenberg and continues his preaching in the castle church there and teaching in the university. But just 7 months after he returns, he hears the news of the first Lutheran martyrs. Two people who confessed what Luther was teaching were burned at the stake in Brussels, Belgium, on July 1st, 1523. And that's not where it ends. The rest of his life, Luther is facing this danger from without. In 1530, Emperor Charles V has gained in power and control, and he summons all the German princes to the city of Augsburg. And there at Augsburg, Charles V is going to try to put pressure on the Lutheran princes to give up their faith. And the Christians there, the Lutherans, write the Augsburg Confession as their confession of faith. But Luther couldn't be there because he was an outlaw. He couldn't appear before Charles V. He could be arrested and put to death. And so he was hidden away in another castle, the Castle Coburg. And it's very easy to think you are all alone when you face these enemies on the outside. Now, you and I probably aren't going to face the same kind of enemies that the apostles faced in Jerusalem or that Luther faced. But as a student of God's church, I am hearing over and over again about the enemies on the outside of God's church that are threatening the very existence of God's church. That as a church, not just St. Paul's, but the American Christian church is by and large losing the millennial generation, even less the generation younger. That the church somehow won't exist as we know it in just a few short years. That the boomer and the next generation after that, I don't remember what the one after boomer was called, that when they die off, that the church won't have the financial means to continue. and probably most of us, have experienced the power of the enemies without, that most of us probably have family members or close friends who used to believe in Jesus as their Savior, but now the Christian faith is something that they have just kind of dismissed and pushed away. There are incredibly powerful enemies on the outside that have, I have every reason to be filled with fear. But on this Christ Alone Sunday, I want us to celebrate the fact that we can always add one. This is what Martin Luther confessed when he confessed the hymn that we just sang at the beginning of the service. This mighty fortress is our God. He says about this prince's, the world's prince, one little word can fell him. What can overcome all the enemies and give us courage? What could give the apostles courage to stand before the same people who put Jesus to death? What could give Luther the courage to hold on even when it seemed the whole world was against him? What can give you and I courage when we see the doom and gloom of so many people and we see the loss of so many people and the power of Satan on the outside threatening the church? What one little word can you and I say? That one little word is Jesus. Dalton said it. Who's here with us? Dalton said, Jesus. That we can always add one. And I love this picture of Jesus. This is a rendition of one of the visions that the Apostle John saw in Revelation. When John saw the visions of Revelation, John was an old man. It's 60 years after Jesus' resurrection. 60 years where John has experienced that incredible pressure from the enemies without. 60 years during which every one of John's fellow apostles was put to death. They all suffered a martyr's death. And John is the only apostle who's left, and he's in exile all alone on the island of Patmos. But Jesus gives them this vision to remind him, you always add one, that Jesus is there. And I love that in this vision from Revelation, Jesus is depicted as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that he is the powerful king who can overcome the enemies on the outside, that you and I shouldn't be surprised when there is pressure from the outside. In fact, the apostles said, this is just what the scriptures foretold, that the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. God had foretold that people would reject Christ. We shouldn't be surprised about it, but celebrate the fact that the one who died is also the one who rose. The apostles were declaring, even in the face of death, that the one who died on Good Friday was alive. And you and I can confess that too. We can always add one. You and I don't face the enemies on the outside alone. Christ is the one who really faces it. We always add one. But I'll be honest, I don't think the enemies on the outside are the most frightening ones for me. The enemies that I fear the most are the demons within. Now, those demons can take different forms. This is the way I would picture one of the demons. Oh, I loved it. What? Wait a second. I think that's who is that? I think that's that quarterback that got hurt. I don't know. Did you pick up in the lesson that the church was growing rapidly? 5,000 men on a Pentecost, 3,000 came to faith. Now this is just a couple of weeks later. It's grown to 5,000 men plus women and children. They're experiencing incredible victories. And it's very easy for Satan to use those victories to fill us with pride and think that it's all about us and that it all depends on us. Luther faced those kind of demons too as he rode into the city of Worms for the diet in 1521, he received a hero's welcome. People were loving him. And he could very easily have fallen into this, I must be right, because I'll look at all of these people who love me. And you and I can fall into that too. I can tell you, St. Paul's and the bridge right now is experiencing some just incredible things. We have opportunities to share our faith in ways that I could never have dreamed. We're adding a resident missionary. Nate Strobel accepted the call to come here to add to our staff to help us carry out the mission that God's given us. Great things are happening, and it could be a time where we just kind of stick out our chest and say, see, we're doing everything right. And when we do that, we forget to add one. And we think it all depends on us, and Satan sets us up for a fall. Because we won't always experience victories. And when the losses come, and if it all depends on us, then somehow the losses are all our fault. And we can fall into despair. Maybe you've heard of the story of Martin Luther, that he saw a vision of the devil coming into his study, and he threw an inkwell at the devil to try to chase him away. Now, this is probably not a true story. It was first written down about 100 years after the time of Martin Luther, but we do know that Luther recognized the devil was very real, and that the devil assaulted him, especially in those times when he was all alone, at Wartburg, at the Coburg, when Satan would come and say, are you alone, right? And it's not just some old history that these demons come to attack. In a couple of weeks, a courageous young man in our congregation is going to share with our teens his story of the demons within that brought him to a sense of despair and hopelessness, that his life was not worth going on, and he was just about ready to take his life. You see, this is real. The demons want to convince us that we are failures, that it all depends on us, and we have failed, and that the sins and guilt that we have accumulated can never be atoned for, and that life is just not worth living. But remember, we always add one. That in the darkness, when you are all alone, you are not alone, because the Savior is there. And he is not only the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is also the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. That from the creation of the world, God made a plan to rescue sinners like you and me. And that we're never alone. That Christ is there, and he is interceding for us. Speaking to the Father in our defense, reminding the Father that his death is reckoned as our death, that we have already died to sin, and that now we live and rule with him. Remember, you and I, in the darkest times, can always add one. And perhaps the most dark time is as we face death. This is a woodcut of Martin Luther's deathbed. It was a public scene as it became evident that death was approaching. But death is really not something that you face with other people. Ultimately, you face it alone, because you're the one who is going to have to stand before your Maker. And the devil is right there to accuse you and remind you of everything you've done wrong for your whole life. Martin Luther, at that public scene, was asked a very personal question by his good friend Eustace Jonas. He said, will you stand firm on Christ and the teaching that you have taught. And Luther said, yeah, yes. You see, Luther was facing death. But Luther was always counting one more, that there was somebody else there who had tasted death for him and risen victorious from the grave. That's what gave the apostles courage to preach the truth, to preach Christ alone to the Jewish leaders. It's what gave Luther the courage to preach before the enemies on the outside, the enemies within, and even at the moment of his death. And it's what can give you and I courage. We can always add one, because our faith is not based on what we do. It is based on Christ alone, who promises, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. You can always add one. And that's what we celebrate. The Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb who was slain. That he is the one who is truly standing here with us. And that this is what our mission is. This is our mission statement. But it's not just our congregation's mission statement, it's my mission statement. I pray it's yours too, or something like it. Because if it is true that you and I can always count one more, we always add one because Jesus is here with us, then I want to live my life in a way that leads other people to be able to claim that same truth. Because I know that other people are facing some incredible enemies on the outside and demons on the inside, and every one of us is going to face death. And the only way that we can truly face them is if we can always say, I know that I can add one, that Jesus is there with us. And so this is our purpose as a congregation, that everything that we do, we're trying to bring people closer to understanding Jesus is right here. Recognize him, trust in him. And that's your personal purpose and my personal purpose. Every interaction that you have, it is to bring that person to understand that there's somebody that's willing to stand next to them and that they don't have to face anything alone. You can always add one. Let's rededicate ourselves this Reformation Day to our Reformation mission. Let's read it together. By every possible means, we bring every person within our area of influence closer to Christ. And let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, what a marvelous thing it is that 500 years later, we are beneficiaries of the courage of Martin Luther. That 2,000 years later, we are beneficiaries of the courage of the apostles. And now, Lord, we ask that you would give us that same courage. Not because there's something powerful in us, but because we remember that Jesus is right here with us, that we can always add one. Lord, for those of us here who are battling some incredibly powerful demons on the inside, help us remember you're here. For those of us who are concerned because we see the power of Satan as he attacks our family members and friends, help us remember that we can always have one, that you're right here. We just ask, Lord, use us as a congregation, as individuals, to let other people see what we see by faith. That it doesn't depend on us, that it depends on Christ alone. Amen.